Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you all here. Welcome to Petersham Baptist Church on this, our Thanksgiving Sunday. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here. I'd like to extend a welcome to you on behalf of the pastors, the elders. If you're a visitor with us here today, you're most welcome. And we thank you for coming to celebrate with your friends or your family members as they get baptised. Our annual Thanksgiving service is a chance for us as a church at Petersham Baptist Church to give thanks to God for the year that's been, for the things that have happened which have been good and we want to praise Him for, and to thank Him also for the salvation that we enjoy because of what the Lord Jesus did for us. And so having six baptisms in one service is a wonderful way to focus our attention on what Jesus has done for us. And it's a cause for celebration that we would have six people among us who want to publicly declare their allegiance to Jesus and symbolically act out what He's done for them to save them. Let me read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 from verse 31. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Will you bow your heads and pray with me as we commit our time into the Lord's hands? Almighty God, mighty Creator, loving Father, we give you thanks this morning for bringing us all here safely, that we might meet together in friendship and fellowship, that we might meet to give you thanks and praise for your goodness to us over the past year. Father, we ask this morning that everything that happens would be pleasing in your sight, that you would be praised, that you would receive something of the honour that you are due, because you are our Maker and you deserve all praise. Father, we thank you for each person who's here this morning. We ask that you would do something in their heart, something in their mind, something special that will help them on their journey. So, Father, we commit our time into your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to have a couple of our young people read the Bible for us now. So I'd like to invite Lachlan Maddock. Lachlan, come on up. And Rebecca Pym, who we've already heard from. Please come up. And they're going to read to us a part of Colossians. Are you going to tell us which part it is? Yeah, do you reckon you could tell everyone that so they can look it up in the Bibles they have in front of them? So you say Colossians chapter 1. You know what to say.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. You can find that on page 1165 of your Pew Bibles. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's people, holy people in Colossa, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that you have come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, And we pray this in order that you may live and live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominance of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son who He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thanks very much, Lockie and Becky. Well read. Tim Bradford, our senior pastor, is going to come and explain to us a part of that passage that was read to us. He'll do that in a moment. But before we do that, I need to get this roving mic here and walk around and ask a question to anyone who's prepared to answer the question. And you could be any age. The question is this: what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a forensic scientist.
A forensic scientist. Duncan.
An actor.
An actor. Fantastic. Lockie.
An AFL player.
An AFL player. And who would you like to play for?
Swans.
Of course. Matty.
I want to be a fireman.
Well done, a fireman. That's an important job. Sam?
AFL player.
Another AFL in the same team? Oh, different team.
A vet.
A vet. Fantastic. Are there any adults who haven't quite found their calling yet? And
I'd like to be a grandma.
There is a few more spaces if you'd like to. Maddie.
I want to figure out what I want to be.
Very good. One more.
I want to be an astronomer.
Thank you so much, Huey. That's great. All right. Well, we might leave it there. I think we have a better sense of who we are as a gathering now. So I'd like to invite Tim to come up and explain to us God's word this morning.
Good morning. My name is Tim. I've noticed a number of new faces this morning. Thank you so much for joining us at our Thanksgiving service. It's a delight to have you with us. We're so glad you could come. Let me pray, and then that passage that was read to us from Colossians chapter 1, I'll spend a few minutes explaining. You might find it helpful to have that open, but let me begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and for this opportunity to be all together. Help us now understand this part of your word that was written so long ago and yet continues to speak to us. Amen. Well, this week I found myself quite amused and entertained by a new app called Aging Booth. The app takes a photo, or you can use a photo, and then projects an older version back to you. So I tried it on myself, but spent far more time using it on family members, particularly my mother-in-law. Anyway, here are some photos. Yep, here we go. Won't take long. So here's Lara, who didn't age so well. Okay. Dave McKinnon from our admin team. Okay. And then Cameron, who didn't change. Anyway, I didn't age so well. But anyway. Anyway. The less said, the better. Well, what will I be when I grow up? What will I look like? What kind of person do I even hope to be? It kind of takes all those questions that Dave asked a little bit further. We probably all have a mental picture of the kind of people we want to be a little bit later in life. And when we turn to the Bible, we actually find there are, in fact, pictures of mature Christians displayed for all to see. Now, the place I'm going to suggest we turn to consider one of those pictures isn't probably one that comes to mind straight away. I want us to look at just a couple of verses of Paul's prayer to that church from the first century, which hardly seems like an obvious choice to learn and look to see what it looks like to be mature as a Christian. But let me suggest these prayers provide a window through which to see a more mature version of ourselves. When Paul prayed, he would ask God to supply what was lacking or fix what was broken or mature the churches that he would write to and pray for. So I think they are, these prayers of Paul's are like a little window into a more mature Christian. In that passage today, Paul pleaded with God that these Christians would live lives, chapter 1, verse 9, to live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus. In fact, Paul wouldn't stop praying this prayer for them. He would pray continually, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, verse 9, through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. It's an awesome thing to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only that God would fill them with godly wisdom so that they can navigate the complexities of life that we all wrestle with, but then they would do it in such a way that's not just expedient, but in a way that honours God. Praying that brothers and sisters in Christ would be filled with godly wisdom to navigate life and then live in a way that pleases God. A wonderful thing to pray for people. But what would such life, what would such a life, one worthy of the Lord, look like? Well, Paul's prayer actually provides us with a bit of a window on that too. Sorry it hasn't come through as clearly as possible. That phrase, worthy of the Lord, is then described with four phrases. To live a life worthy of the Lord means to bear fruit in every good work, to grow in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks. Now that can't be the full picture of what it means to be a mature Christian. But nonetheless, it seems to be four special things that came to Paul's mind. And I just want to take a minute to consider the last one, giving joyful thanks. Today's the Thanksgiving service. The passage mentions thanks. The take-home message is straightforward, isn't it? We could wrap this up early and let the baptisms do the talking. And we will. We will wrap it up early, except I don't think this is a lesson in manners, nor mere moralism. Nor would thankfulness for life, health, family, friends, great things to be thankful for. It's not necessarily a mark of Christian maturity, is it? I mean, anyone could be thankful for those things. It's great to be thankful for our circumstances, but of course, what if they change? Does Paul have something more enduring in mind? I think he does. For Paul, the thankfulness prayed for here is directed to God the Father, verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father for what God has done, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is, of course, the good news about Jesus Christ, a message that God offers our world. It's a message of pure grace, as God offers to people who don't want him, nor know him, a place amongst his very people, in his very kingdom. God offers a rescue from darkness, the darkness of our ignorance, the darkness of facing death and a coming judgment. God offers a rescue from that into the kingdom of his Son, in whom there is complete forgiveness. This is the message that church that Paul writes to received. They believed it. And that same gospel has been bearing fruit all over the world ever since, as men and women and children hear and truly understand God's grace. It's such a wonderful thing to be included from the outside, from not being interested in God, to be brought close into his very kingdom. And so you'd think, wouldn't you, that such thankfulness would come naturally to us. We'd have Thanksgiving services every Sunday, where we pack out the church every week. Who can measure God's grace? You'd think our first instinct would just be thankfulness. It would flow from us uninterrupted, wouldn't it? You would think that with such grace given, we'd be so more inclined to give thanks to God for what we do have as opposed to dwelling on what we don't. You would think our focus would be on the concerns not of the immediate, but we'd focus on the security of our coming hope. But as I say all this, thankfulness all of a sudden doesn't seem so straightforward, does it? In fact, are you like me and you find it easier to complain? Is that your first instinct? Glass half empty. Instead of gratitude to God, do you catch yourself thinking at times, maybe more than you'd like to, that I'm self-sufficient and I live like I'm self-made? I don't think we should assume that thankfulness is something basic and easy. After all, we find Paul praying that Christians be marked by it. It's not something that comes naturally to us, no more than bearing fruit or growing in the knowledge of God or being strengthened by God. However, I don't think that excuses me. My lack of natural and enduring gratitude to God reveals, I think, not simply that I've got a few rough patches or a few cracks, rather that I'm broken. But let me tell you some good news. God is remaking a people. Through the gospel, God offers broken people forgiveness, complete forgiveness. And more than just simply transferring people from one kingdom into another, God continues to transform people as the gospel bears fruit in their lives. By praying, Paul's requesting that God continue to do that good work in his people, one mark of which is an enduring thankfulness for what God has done in Christ. So none of us are the complete picture yet, which can be confronting, but it's not a reason to withdraw. Rather, it's a reason to draw near to God. This mark of maturity comes to us in the middle of a prayer, as Paul asks God to keep transforming his people so that they would live lives worthy of Christ. And so we turn back to God, asking him to continue that good work in us that he began. The take-home message isn't an attempted plan to be more thankful. That'll last only a couple of days. The take-home message is to turn back to God. That couldn't be a more different response, could it? I mean, walk out this door this morning and think, I will change myself. I will make myself more thankful.
or walk out the door this morning and pray, "Please God, change me." Continue that good work that only you began. Fix what's broken, fill what's lacking, that I might live a life worthy of you. Let me pray and ask God to do that work in us. Our Heavenly Father, please fill us with the knowledge of your will. Please give to us the knowledge and wisdom that only the Spirit can bring. We would ask this so that we would live lives worthy of our Lord Jesus and please him. Would you please enable us to bear fruit in every good work, to grow in our knowledge of you. Would you please strengthen us with power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience? And would you enable our hearts to give joyful thanks to you? Help us, teach us to rejoice at what you've done for us in Christ, for the wonderful share we have with your saints in your kingdom, for the rescue we now have from darkness, and for the complete forgiveness we have in Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here this morning and a part of this wonderful celebration, and for being here to support those family and friends who've just been baptised too. After the service finishes, it's our custom on this Sunday for all who are part of PBC to go next door here onto the grass at the back of Flo Harris Lodge so that we can have a church photo. So please don't run off, but please stay for that church photo. And we might need a little bit of help moving some chairs out there for people to sit on and stand on. After that, we'll go straight into the hall and have our church lunch. And the chairs and tables have been wonderfully set up already, which is very helpful. And if you're a visitor with us here today, you are most welcome to be a part of our church lunch next door. Please stay. We'd love to get to know you and chat with you. After the church lunch is finished, we then have our annual general meeting, which will be back in here. Those who are visiting today probably won't want to stay for that. But if I can encourage all of you who are a part of PBC, I guess both members and non-members, please come and be a part of that meeting. I'm envisaging that will probably start around 12:30, but just watch to see if people are heading this way. Let me finish with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth, and we thank you for this opportunity this morning to express our thankfulness to you. We thank you for each one who was baptised. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, help them to walk in the things that you have for them. Help them to follow Jesus all their days, to walk in his footsteps, to know him better and better, and to become like him. Thank you for the word that was preached. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to be thankful people, thankful for what you have done in saving us through the Lord Jesus. And thank you that you are transforming us so that we might be truly thankful people from the heart. Father, as we finish up here and go from here, we ask that you would lead us, that you would help us, that you would watch over us and help us to be ever mindful of you and all that you've done for us. And we thank you, last of all, for the gospel, the good news of our salvation through the Lord Jesus' death on the cross for our sins and his rising, his resurrection, which enables us to defeat death and have eternal life and to live new lives in the present. We are very, very thankful for all that the Lord Jesus did for us, and we remember him this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.